Welcome back to New Rockstars, The Mandalorian Season 2 introduced live-action Ahsoka Tano and Grand Admiral Thrawn in a double whammy Dave Filoni homework assignment to watch all of Star Wars Rebels by Friday. Don't worry. While this could be something explored on The Mandalorian, I kind of feel like it is too big a conflict for a show about The Mandalorian and Grogu, and I think we are looking at an Ahsoka Thrawn spinoff. I'm Eric Voss, this is Rogue Theory, the show that brings you all the nerdy, wildest hot takes on topics we can't stop talking about, which right now, in the day of our Lord, December 2020, is The Mandalorian. With me to go rogue today is our friend, the Joven Jedi, Joven!
Glad to be back! The sentient staff strikes again! Strikes forever.
You can find her streaming on Twitch when she's not gracing us with her presence, Angelica Trey.
Hey, I'm glad to be back. How
glad
you doing?
Glad to have you back. Oh, I'm doing good. I think we're all doing good. What a time to be alive with The Mandalorian. Who knew that we would be getting all this crap in one season, 8 episodes? Oh, man, not a drop of filler. Maybe that Ice Spider episode, but not now. Rounding out the panel, our buddy, welcome back, Tom Michelson. Always
Everybody.
Great to have you, man.
Thanks. And I got my honorary Grogu shirt. And I'm going to try to, I don't know why I've been saying Grogu. Grogu sometimes. I'm going to really try not to. I know it's not Grogu, it's Grogu. So if I say Grogu, please don't be mad. Just let me know in the comments. But please don't be mad. I'm going to try.
I'm sure they'll be very polite in the comments.
Sure. Oh, totally.
Right?
Yeah. Grogu's in the dyad. Don't worry about it.
Okay. That's right. There's a Grogu somewhere else. We'll meet Grogu in season 4.
Don't say Grogu. Now you're going to throw me out. Grogu. Grogu.
Grogu's going to cross over in Thor 4, more Thor. Or the Star Wars of Gore.
Okay, that's done. I don't have any hope now.
I hate you.
Yeah, let's just go back to Baby Yoda.
We're back to Baby Yoda.
Okay.
Let's dive into this. Chapter 13 of The Mandalorian took Mando and Grogu to the planet of Corvus, where they meet Ahsoka Tano, played by Rosario Dawson. She is in the process of very much pissing off Morgan Elsbeth. We find out the apprentice to, surprise, surprise, Grand Admiral Thrawn, the epic villain from Star Wars Rebels, and before that, various Expanded Universe novels. And I'm going to call it Expanded Universe because it's not just Legends to me. It is an Expanded Universe, and that is thanks to Thrawn. That guy is the heart of all of it. Without Thrawn, we would not have these amazing stories that inspired this whole renaissance of animated series. You can tell that Dave Filoni clearly loves these stories because they find ways to put these into the new movies and the shows, and we love that. And Thrawn, though, more recently is important to us because he was such a big villain in Star Wars Rebels. He disappeared alongside Ezra Bridger, and that is who Ahsoka and Sabine were looking for in that final epilogue scene of Star Wars Rebels. So to find Thrawn means to find Ezra, but she seems kind of pissed off at him. There is a deeper anger there, and I've made a couple theories about who Thrawn is, what his plan might be, and as well as Ahsoka's full timeline, because she's been on like everything now, and that includes Dave Filoni's recent update that the Rebels finale epilogue scene might actually take place after Ahsoka's current arc on The Mandalorian. Possibly, he says, check out those videos. Here, I have these three experts that are going to help me with this. The reason these two heavyweights are being brought onto live action, I think, is to give a big path forward to the future of the whole Star Wars universe. I really do think we could be looking at a spinoff. So, without further ado, I want to hear from you three. Pitch me what you think this Ahsoka Thrawn spinoff could look like. Joven, why don't you go first?
Oh, I am ready to talk your ear about this. Yes. But this Rogue theory I've got, it's not going to leave a smile on your face. As accurate as it will wind up being, it'll get you feeling in the feels. Because outside of The Mandalorian being the first Star Wars series that we have here, there's talks of other Disney Plus spinoff shows, an Obi-Wan series, now maybe an Ahsoka Tano series. And from what we've heard so far is that they might just be like, you know, one season, tell a story kind of thing. And I think that's what we'll get from an Ahsoka Tano spinoff, where it is her trying to find and stop Thrawn. But what is Thrawn doing? Well, because it's the Star Wars universe, everything is connected. And Thrawn is, in fact, connected to the plot of Star Wars Episode 9. by being that Emperor Palpatine has a few different eggs with baskets. He doesn't have everything just kind of like falling on Snoke to kind of get the First Order up and running. If that doesn't work out, he doesn't have it to work out. He also has Thrawn there, you know, taking out all these different planets to get resources to create a fleet, to create its own maybe fleet of the Sith, just in case if all the other plans don't work out. It's just another puppet in the grand scheme of Palpatine. And I think that Ahsoka Tano's story is going to be about finding Thrawn and stopping this from happening, because we do hear her voice at the end of Rise of Skywalker implying that, you know, she's no longer with us. And that's where the feels start to come in. We've seen this great story arc from Ahsoka from you know, just the Padawan to going out on her own and then seeing her as like a Ronin samurai, if you will. And she, if you read the book, she's like hesitant to help people. She doesn't really know where she fits in. She doesn't know who she can trust. And I think this is where we see her arc, where she finds her meaning to her life and what she needs to do. She has seen what a galactic empire can do, what a giant fleet, what a giant army can do to the universe. So she's going to do everything in her power to stop Thrawn from doing it again. And I think that it will cost her life to stop Thrawn. But an unfortunate for her, Palpatine has, you know, those other eggs and baskets. And then that's why we see the New Order and Snoke kind of rise up with Kylo Ren on the side. Because, you know, he's got plan Bs and Cs.
Yeah, this guy is the ultimate contingency planner in every new corner.
Operation F. That's yes. A through G. Shut up.
Not Operation Cinder. That's something different, but it's also canon. I have. I either want to destroy the galaxy or also rebuild it at the same time. I'm confusing, Kathleen. Get any
J.J. Abrams being successful.
Yes. Also, he has kids and grandkids. That guy. Why choose a very vocation? You can have it all. And Palpatine's the proof in the pudding. hey, what you dig into there, Joven, with your theory is like a truth about Ahsoka that she cannot be confined to just a subplot of The Mandalorian. And I'm so glad you brought up her book, because as I don't think the way forward for her character is for Dave Filoni to just say, her stories in Star Wars Rebels and Clone Wars, just go watch those. No, those are going to, they're going to exist and they're going to be great for people to go back and look at, but they're going to do more with Rosario Dawson, and there is more depths to her character that you can really only truly connect audiences with by having them in live action. I'm sorry, I love Ashley Eckstein, but Rosario Dawson is going to be the way forward for this
and
character.
When it is the highest rated episode of Mandalorian to date, and there's no way Disney Plus doesn't see that as a big old money sign.
Oh, yes. No way.
It's going to happen.
So I'm going to award you 2 points, Joven. I would give you more, but I just have like slightly different feelings on whether Thrawn is a piece in Palpatine's puzzle.
Anytime you tie something to episode 9, it's going to rub a few people the wrong way.
I just want Thrawn to be his own thing. I want Thrawn to be kind of an enemy to that whole thing, just so they can be like, yes, that happened, but now we have Thrawn, and you have Thrawn, and we all have Thrawn, and it's going to be great. But great theory, Joven. 2 points. 2 points to Joven.
2 points.
Yes. All right, Angelica, it is your turn. How do you think a Thrawn Ahsoka Tano spinoff could look?
Okay, so this is good news for you then on your Thrawn hopes and theories, because I'm thinking Ahsoka will go on a revenge mission of like a cat and mouse chasing Thrawn in hopes of finding Ezra Bridger.
Okay.
Since Thrawn is known as one of the, you know, most genius, like military strategist in the Empire, I definitely think he's going to be a Moriarty style character that's always going to be one step ahead of Ahsoka's
great
badassery.
I
love Moriarty, and I love, like, I know it's a completely different franchise, but I think he's going to be such a good character for it. And if I recall correctly, the voice actor who played Thrawn at one point in the animated series was a character or like a villain from Sherlock. So there's some ties here.
Oh, Lars Mikkelsen, was he?
Yeah. Lars. I'm thinking that in this spinoff, we're going to have that Moriarty style Thrawn character who's one step ahead. And then along the way, while Ahsoka's on her journey, she runs into, you know, Sabine, and Sabine joins that mission because Sabine wants to find Ezra as well. And even though all signs point to Ezra maybe being dead, or like they just haven't heard anything, they will actually find Ezra on maybe like a random planet laying low because he got separated from Thrawn after that space whale jump. What are they called?
The Purgle?
Purgles? Purgle. Either that or Purgle. So they're going to find Ezra. It's going to be epic. It's going to be the best scene ever. And Ezra's going to be like, I'm actually tracking Thrawn. And they're going to find out that Thrawn is trying to build his own empire and that he's got to be stopped before, you know, more casualties, more innocents die.
What I like about your pitch there, Angelica, is the fact that, like, halfway through, it sounds like Ahsoka meets Sabine. So correct me if I'm wrong. Are you saying that you're leaning on the more possible than less possible side of Filoni's interpretation, that final scene, that maybe it was after the current arc of Mandalorian, we're going to follow her on her own for a bit more and then catch up to her when she runs into Sabine on Lothal. And they're like, all right, girl, let's go. I know where you are.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're going to be like finding friends along the way, but I still love Ahsoka Tano as that, you know, kind of similar to Mando, but like that lone ranger type character. And then we'll find that journey of her reconnecting along the way.
Yeah, I like that too. And what I hope this ends up being, I don't know if I need another 6 seasons in a movie of Ahsoka Tano, but like Disney Plus seems okay with limited run miniseries in the same way that the Clone Wars final season was a short run that they knew would have a finite ending. It was 12 episodes. That was really four episodes, right? You had the clone trooper arc, you had the Martez sister arc, and then you had the Siege of Mandalore arc, Order 66 arc, and that those four episodes were some of the four best moments, like, together. That was like my favorite Star Wars movie in a way. So if they could just do that with Ahsoka, just like, we're doing 5 episodes of Ahsoka just to show you how she does it, like, that could be the perfect way to do it. Because that way it wouldn't completely erase everything Ashley Eckstein did, because there is so much there, you know? Great. Yeah, I think you and I are very much in agreement, Angelica. So I'm just out of bias, because I can't be an impartial judge, I'm going to give you three points. Points to Angelica Dore.
I'll take them. Thank you.
Well. 3 points, then.
Three points it is. All right, Tom, it is your turn. Tell us your vision for this Thrawn Ahsoka spinoff.
So I think this works because it takes a little bit of what each of you guys have said. Kind of like what Eric started with, how Filoni was saying maybe that scene at the end of Rebels wasn't exactly after the end of Rebels. So I think that the new Ahsoka show will start with her finding Sabine in that moment to help her find Thrawn. And Sabine, of course, will come along because she wants to find Ezra. But their mission will get interrupted by a new mystery where children from all over the galaxy have gone missing. And Ahsoka's afraid that Palpatine's old plan from the Clone Wars, where he kidnapped 4 sensitive children, is back. And unfortunately, to make matters worse, one of the first children to go missing is Jason Syndulla, Hera and Kanan's son. So Hera's going to enlist Ahsoka's help, Sabine's help. Of course, Uncle Zeb's going to come along for the ride. And they're going to go have to find out what's happening with these missing children.
Live action Zeb will
be coming to this show, is what I want to see. But as this ragtag group goes along and tries to help figure out this mystery, we're going to find out that who's actually kidnapping the children is Thrawn. So their missions are actually coalescing, and that Thrawn is kidnapping these children because he's wanting to build an army of his own, which at this point of time is the First Order. That's right. I think Thrawn is the one who actually started and built up the First Order. And that and later down the line, maybe Palpatine will take it over and make it his own. But there's actually precedent for this too, because like Finn really is a Force-sensitive
person.
Yeah, Finn,
I was just about to say. This
ties in, and it's not only him, but like Jaina, the other girl from Episode 9.
That's right,
There's already a precedent for Force-sensitive kids as stormtroopers. And we know from the books that Thrawn, actually uses Force-sensitive kids to be his map wayfinders. I think he calls them Skywalkers. I think that this is Thrawn's play to create his own empire that he calls the First Order. But Palpatine comes in and takes that over later. We can worry about that and try to make those movies make sense. But for now, Thrawn's mission is to take these Force-sensitive kids and create the First Order.
Wow, Tom, that's a really hot take. I love that idea of because we know certain things about the origin of the First Order from the Aftermath books, right? You had Grand Admiral Rey Sloan, you had Brendel Hux, but there's still a lot of about that. It's in the unknown regions, which we know Thrawn knows very, very well. But here's what I love about your theory. You took elements from Rebels and from Clone Wars, this whole plot. Correct me if I'm wrong, are you talking about the whole Cad Bane thing of stealing the Jedi Archives holocron? Of all those Force-sensitive kids around the galaxy. Yeah, that's a cool plot line, and I would love for that to come back, that there is some kind of, you know, because the Jedi were kind of a cult, they would have that list, and for that to be weaponized in a way, like it again leaks, because the Jedi archives, they burned, you know, that would have been sacked, that would have been something you'd have to worry about getting out there. That is essentially what the whole Inquisitors thing grew out of the dark side, or the Empire gathering whoever the surviving Jedi were, pulling them over to the dark side and turning them into hunters, into Blade Runners, I guess, essentially. The using that cool leftover thing from the animated series to fix something we weren't crazy about, not just the confusion over how the First Order came about, but that missed opportunity with Finn, that clearly he had some kind of Force sensitivity. If he could wield the lightsaber as well as he did, and they kind of hinted it at the end where he sensed... You know, he sensed that death in The Rise of Skywalker, but clearly John Boyega was like, "You assholes had an opportunity. You blew it.
Shit to do." Yeah.
So this could be a way you bring him back in there, maybe, or, you know, maybe have a younger actor play him or something. Yeah, I love so much about your theory. I am going to give it, just because I'm still nervous. I don't know if the First Order needs to be tied directly to Thrawn. I have this fear that if you tie it too much in Episode 9, so that's my bias. That's my personal bias, but I'm still going to give you 3 points for your theory.
All right, I'll take it.
I think it does bring up an interesting point, because all of these ideas sound like that they could happen, especially mine. But if we get a Ahsoka spinoff, like, how is it just not Rebel Season 5 in live action?
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how is it not, Rise of Skywalker or the Force Awakens prequel, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you want it to be its own distinct thing, and you also want it to fix some of the problems. So it's kind of like a question of priorities, right? Do we want to explore Ahsoka's character and Thrawn's character, or do we want something that kind of what the Clone Wars was to Attack of the Clones and the other prequels, that it kind of righted some of the wrongs with context, with other characters, and he told the true story of the prequels, gave you that kind of certain point of view angle.
Yeah, and I think that it's really interesting, because up until this point of season 2 in Mandalorian, I think we're all fine with having a separate thing that's just its own, which is great. And all of a sudden we had that episode where they're like, that's a tank of clones there. Are they trying to say something about Snoke? And then we have Ahsoka come out. We're like, okay, now we're really tying it. And then she says Thrawn. Now it's like, okay, anything can happen. We're just blowing the doors off of Star Wars. Exactly. Who knows?
Planting all the seeds,
exactly, all the eggs and everybody, like Jovan was saying, everything's happening now and everything's on the table, so who knows.
Yeah, I think, here's what we all know coming out of The Mandalorian, right, is that Dave Filoni definitely deserves to be the chief kind of creative officer of the Star Wars universe going forward.
I would have just said Lucas. He deserves to be George Lucas.
He deserves to be what George Lucas was.
I think what
you
said makes sense too.
Yeah.
You are
that
now
guy,
a George Lucas. Yeah,
he needs to be the Kevin Feige of that, even though they do have Kevin Feige making Star Wars movies. Just put Filoni in charge, please. That guy gets it. And he knows how to deliver these beautiful cinematic moments. But... What he did so well with Clone Wars and with Rebels is he didn't try to fix every problem. He just gave you certain characters and told their stories. And by telling Ahsoka's story, you were able to tell Anakin's story in a way that the prequel movies did not, because it gave us a new kind of a heartstring to tug at of why Anakin was able to do what he did, why he turned to the dark side. Well, part of it was one of his best friends was betrayed by the Jedi Order, and that planted the seed of mistrust in him. And that kind of gave you more perspective, and it helped us process and go back, rewatch Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith and feel a lot better about them, even though Revenge of the Sith, I think, was always freaking great.
Same.
But we're going to keep talking about The Mandalorian. We have more things we want to talk about. Before we continue, we want to thank some friends who helped us make this episode. First, our friends at ExpressVPN. It is December, and that means it is time for Christmas movies. But what if you go to Netflix and you discover your favorite Christmas movie isn't available based off of where you live? Get ready to have your mind blown. You can use ExpressVPN to watch any Netflix library in the world. I'm talking Die Hard on South Korean Netflix or Elf on Australian Netflix, all from the comfort of your home. That's not in South Korea or Australia. If you live somewhere else, you get to get them. It's simple. You just open the app, you hit one button, you change your location, you refresh Netflix, and that is it. ExpressVPN lets you control where you want sites to think you're located. You can choose from almost 100 countries. That's a lot of Netflix libraries. ExpressVPN also works with other streaming services, Disney Plus, Hulu, BBC iPlayer, you name it. There are hundreds of VPNs out there, but the reason I use ExpressVPN to watch movies and shows is because it is ridiculously fast. There's never any buffering. You can always stream in HD. ExpressVPN works with all your devices too, phones, tablets, smart TVs, whatever. Use it to watch whatever you want on the go or on the big screen. If you visit my special link right now, expressvpn.com/rogue, you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Support the show, watch what you want, and get your holiday fix at expressvpn.com/rogue. Okay, we also want to thank our friends at Manscaped. Brace yourselves, winter is coming. Now, we all miss Game of Thrones and all the glorious beards on that show. Those hairy, hairy northerners could have really used our wonderful sponsor, Manscaped. Not only could it have helped them stay looking good all over, Manscaped's Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer could have helped prevent nicks and cuts. Westeros has seen enough bloodshed already. The new Lawnmower 3.0 is waterproof with advanced skin safe technology and even has a light to help you shave everywhere. Ooh. Because the night is dark and full of terrors, but your under regions don't have to be. They also have got the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer to make sure your facial hair doesn't trespass the north of the lip wall.
That's what I need. That's what I need a lot.
Everyone's like, why is Voss reacting to these talking points in real time? Well, I am kind of being Ron Burgundy'd right now. You have smelly feet? Well, Manscaped can help with their foot duster foot deodorant made to fight odor on real funky feet like Sander Clegane level funk. Want to smell good everywhere? Well, the Refined Cologne by Manscaped is a clean and fresh scent designed for the refined gentleman. Get 20%
off. This is my favorite one.
Yeah, it really is wild. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code ROGUETHEORY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code ROGUETHEORY. Be sure to join the Manscaped movement. These products are no joke. I literally read it confused, and as I said it, it became clear.
Puns do that to you.
Oh, man.
All right, let's get back to The Mandalorian. We are now in the second half of the season. I guess technically 5/8 of the way through, and we are starting to build up. Usually these last three episodes build up toward the finale episode. Now, last season's final shots gave us Moff Gideon emerging from his ship wreckage wielding the freaking Darksaber. That was a huge moment. I have a feeling the finale of this season is gonna do a similar thing to us. Star Wars loves to do that, and Filoni loves to do that. So I want to hear from you guys. What do you think that final shot's gonna be? What is the final scene of season two of The Mandalorian going to reveal to us?
All right, so as you were saying, like, you know, Star Wars loves cliffhangers, and this being season two, I think this is going to be their chance to do, like, an Empire Strikes Back where it ends with a big, like, what the hell do we do now moment. So okay. Just setting the scene. So they get to Tython. Din places Grogu on the Seeing Stone just as Moff Gideon is arriving, because he placed a tracker on a ship when he was in Navarro. Din sees Gideon and tries to buy him some time by taking him on using that spear, and there's going to be a Darksaber spear fight. And he barely gets the upper hand and is about to defeat the Moff when we hear a tracking fob sound. Now, this is Rogue Theory, so I'm going to go real rogue here.
He's going rogue!
I think that Din's going to be very exhausted at the fight. He's going to turn around and see Cad Bane. Cad Bane is going to be coming out with his tracking fob, because he's still tracking. Now, there's still a bounty on the kid from season one. Gideon, knowing that he's a bounty hunter, is going to be like, you know, I'll give you double if you kill him right now. He shoots, he'll shoot Mando in the head, and Beskar will knock him out. He'll go up for the killing blow, and then we start hearing spurs. The spurs that we know, is. Boba Fett shows up, because he's been tracking them on his own to find his own armor. So then Boba shows up, and he sees Bane, and this will be the first time they've seen each other since Clone Wars. And we'll get kind of an answer on whether or not that there's a famous deleted scene from Clone Wars where Cad Bane and Boba Fett actually had a duel, and Cad Bane is the one who gave Boba the dent in his helmet. There's a deleted scene, and you can watch the animatics on YouTube right now. But it's unclear whether that's canon or not, but we'll get an answer to that. They'll have a fight. They'll have an all-out brawl. And just as Cad Bane's about to lose, Gideon will stop him and be like, hey, Boba, I know you're a bounty hunter. Don't kill him. Why don't you help me? I'll offer you a bounty to stop Jaren and help me kidnap Grogu. Boba will be like, I don't need money. I'm just here to get my armor. Like, I don't care about that. And then he goes, no, I'm not trying to give you money. I'll tell you the location of Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, and Leia Organa right now if you help me. Boba will turn to Din and be like, sorry. Then this will end. This will be the final scene. So, Boba is flying off in the Ridgecrest. Now he has his armor. He steals Mando's ship. Cad Bane and Moff Gideon take Grogu. They fly off in his ship, and we reveal that Din is not only still knocked out, defeated, but they've stripped him of his armor and his weapons. His favorite helmet is now gone, and he's laying there, kind of lifeless. Boom! Fade to black.
Whoa!
If it's gonna be Empire, we gotta go hard.
I'm terrified.
This has to be. It's gonna be something crazy.
Tom, like, I know, like, Star Wars timeline, I feel like, pretty well, but when you said those three's name, I'm like, shit, yeah, they're all alive right now. They're all on Chandrilla or wherever, you know, just hanging out. So that is freaking terrifying. That's where it ends.
They're going to save the Jedi stuff for Ahsoka. Like, now that we know Ahsoka's coming, I don't know if we're going to have someone show up, a Jedi, I mean, with Grogu at the end. They might, who knows, but this is a show about bounty hunters. So if we're going to have bounty hunters, we need to bring out the big guns at the end here.
And to bring in Cad Bane, it kind of ties in with your earlier theory of that whole leftover plot.
Yeah, ties into his first theory.
Yeah, tie it with your first theory.
I don't know we're going up against a pro here on the show.
Tom.
I had a chart in the back, like Charlie, always sunny, and I'm like,
red streams.
This is him here. Pepe Sylvia.
What an amazing theory. If it ends at, it's one of those theories where it's like, well, damn, if they don't do that, I'm going to be a little bummed.
Right?
It's hard when you get so invested in those ideas,
I'm going to give you a solid 4 points for that theory. That was a good theory. Now, to you other two, you do not have to go. You don't have to feel too much competition. I want you to stick with your vision of this. It can be whatever you think it is, and just be true to yourselves. Angelica, it is your turn. What do you think the final image of the season is going to be?
Okay, so I definitely think that we're going to end the season with the Seeing Stone, and Mando's going to be setting Grogu on the stone, and Gideon's going to arrive. Mm-hmm. We know, like, Gideon's just lurking in the shadows. He's going to pop back in. I feel it. It's in my bones. So I think Mando is going to get into an epic, you know, saber spear fight, right? Now, because he has the spear with Gideon, and he's almost going to lose, but then Grogu's going to sense Mando's near demise, and he's going to use the force to harm and like blast Gideon away or something. Like he's gonna, we're gonna see little dark Grogu. We're gonna see Grogu's dark side.
Cool.
Uh huh. Because we're gonna tie it back to.
But it's gonna be so adorable.
Oh, it's gonna be so cute. But we're gonna be heeding Ahsoka's, you know, words from earlier in the season, right? Where Ahsoka Tano warned Mando of Grogu's dangerous attachment to him. Mm-hmm, and so we're going to see that start to play out at the end of this season. And so, you know, so then Gideon's just off somewhere, you know, he's off screen. He's going to come back later or something. Mm-hmm. And a Jedi is going to show up and answer the call, and Mando's going to essentially surrender Grogu because he doesn't want Grogu to go to the dark side and turn, you know, evil. And the Jedi is going to leave with Grogu and go and train him, and Mando's going to be once again alone. It's going to be a very melancholic ending, but we know that Mando's going to look out for Grogu to the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also really like that theory, Angelica. I think we all kind of know it's a given that we're going to see a duel between Moff Gideon and Din Djarin this season. But the idea of Baby Yoda going dark, I feel like that's kind of been what this season has been setting up, right? Like, he's eating those unfertilized frog eggs like they're nothing.
Those force choke from season one.
There's a force choke from season one, and now there's this renewed concern that he could follow in the steps of Anakin Skywalker. So yeah, I think that would be a really cool way to end the
Maybe
season of
Grogu's the chosen child. One. Got it.
Yeah, the bad one. The chosen evil one. Yeah. All right, Angelica, I'm gonna give you 3 points for your theory. I like that take.
Thank you.
All right. I gotta get a little tactical here. We got some good ones. Like these are great. Dark side Baby Yoda, a connection to the original trilogy characters. How do you compete with that? Well, I don't have to play smart here. So here's what I think is going to happen in the final episode. And to back it up a little bit, end of episode 7, we will that'll be the moment where Grogu gets put onto the seeing stone. And then it's like, all right, I hope someone finds him, I guess. And that is, you know, as Moff Gideon is now on planet, we're at the height of the, you know, the climax here. What happens in the final episode? Well, I do think that fight is going to happen. There's the reason why he's got the Beskar spear. The reason it's a spear is because the actor obviously already has his bow staff skills, his spear skills already honed because of Game of Thrones. So we're going to see that dark saber / Beskar spear fight. And it's going to be great. But, you know, he hasn't had a lot of time to practice with the spear. He's going to get disarmed because that's what we like to do here in Star Wars. People are going to be losing some weapons. And as Moff Gideon goes to throw the final strike with his darksaber on Din, a blue lightsaber shows up, hits the darksaber away, flies back, hits right into someone's hand as we pan up. And there is Cal Kestis. Played by Cameron Monaghan, ready to save the day. He was the one that caught the call from Grogu because Dave Filoni has connected novels. He's connected to comics. He's connected to holiday specials. They have yet to connect to the canon video game series. And this is our chance to bring Cal Kestis to the live action world where he's there to save the day. Because we remember at the end of Jedi Fallen Order, they had this holocron of Jedi children that I believe that they destroyed, but they know that there are children out there and other people need to be saved. It's been quite a few years since that incident, and this is their crew's plan, is to find these children and kind of save them from the dark path that's been laid upon them after episode 3. So it sets in motion this Cal meets Din with Grogu there. It's like, what is the future of Grogu? What is the future Grand Moff Gideon? Yeah, his plans. But now connecting to the video game universe. So that, I think, is what we're going to see. And why else get like when they got Cal Kestis, when they got Monaghan to do his face, that was just enough time for him to kind of age right into this. So it all works out timing wise. They've been planning this for a while, guys. We're connected with the video games.
Hell yeah, dude, that does make a ton of sense. And yeah, we do have some logistical problems having Mark Hamill come back, right? He's an older fella, still looks pretty good, but we've seen him as old Luke Skywalker. We did see that brief moment where they de-aged him in Rise of Skywalker, but it did look, you know, they just had a solo light source of his lightsaber. It would be kind of weird looking, and I don't think they would want him. They'd have to be very careful. They'd have to put a lot of hood work, maybe get someone else playing him. It'd be tough. Because they pulled that with Carrie Fisher in Rogue One.
Yeah.
But Cal Kestis is a bit more mystery, a bit, and game players would know who that is, but they could set that up of just like saying his name.
Like
that would be fucking wild.
Of like Mandalorian, what you do at the end of every Mandalorian episode, where everyone's like, wait, who's this guy? Goes to Google, finds new rock stars, five things you didn't know about Cal Kestis. So like, it's just what they do at the end of every episode of Mandalorian is give you something that the deep fans, the deep cuts know, and everyone else likes to Google.
Well, and a character that not everyone has their minds made up about yet, you know? So with Maul, they pulled that move in Solo, right, where they brought in Maul. People had opinions about, but they thought he was dead, and they're like, wait, he's actually alive again? They're like, yeah, go watch the Clone Wars. But, with this, it's going to be, I could imagine that same kind of thing, of like a kind of relatively fresh face that a Jedi who is still out there, you know? You can count them on one hand, but Cal Kestis is one of them. I'm going to give you 4 points for that theory.
Oh, yeah,
I love that idea. Yep.
That was good.
You're still in this. Your tactical strategy paid off. All right, so we have a relatively even score. We got Tom with 7, and we got Jovan Angelica with 6 points, but all can be changed with our final round of rogue questions. Our first question, the National Research Group released a list of the top fan favorite franchises over the last 2 years this week. So the list had 10 Marvel properties in the top 20. Mandalorian was number 1. Stranger Things and The Witcher also got in the list. I want you guys to pitch me on what completely unexpected franchise could crack the top 20 2 years from now.
I'm going with what I know. I know video games. we're getting some like a Mario animated film, right? Can someone confirm that? Yes. Well, we're gonna get one. It's my rogue theory that we're getting a Mario Brothers animated movie, which will then lead into like a Nintendo cinematic universe, and eventually we'll have a Smash Brothers movie, and that's gonna be at the top of the charts, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, at first I balked, but then I'm like, well, duh, yeah, of course. Of course that's actually going to happen.
2021, we're getting Nintendo Land in Universal Studios Japan, so it only makes sense that they start to follow up with movies. Duh.
I'm also thinking of Last of Us, because that too is spanning from the game world over to television now. They're making a series for it soon.
Yeah, Craig Mazin is producing that. Yeah.
That's going to be at the top
of the games
list.
Are
You're
so
right.
good. Yeah, the games are amazing. And it's a whole new take, at least for me, having seen so much zombie stuff out there. It's a whole new take on like that zombie-esque, you know, franchise. It's the fungi zombies.
Yeah.
So I think that would be really cool. And I think that it's going to be looked back on, especially the game Last of Us Part 2. And it's going to be really highly regarded.
Yeah, it's going to be the new Walking Dead. Because, I mean, obviously Walking Dead was great. I believe it has peaked. Frank Darabont did amazing stuff in that first season. They were able to keep it going for a couple good seasons after that. I think it has been trash for 2 years at least, but the team behind this Last of Us HBO adaptation, Craig Mazin is a guy I briefly met at Austin Film Festival a couple years ago. He did Chernobyl for HBO. He made Chernobyl as something that took over all social media that summer. So he's an amazing screenwriter, so it's gonna be great.
And
he's
paired up with the actual writer from the game.
From the game. So yeah, it's gonna be
perfect
amazing.
Combo.
So good.
Yeah. All right, Tom, what do you think?
So I don't know how many people in our audience watch this, but I'm gonna go with the last show I watched, which I really liked, Queen's Gambit. Except that in every season, instead of just playing chess, she's going to be playing all these other games. She's going to be doing, like, you know, she's going to be like, guess who? She's going to be doing checkers. She's going to do a season. Maybe she's even going to gaming. She'll do, like, Call of Duty and start crushing everybody. Yeah, she'll be a new Twitch streamer. She'll just crush every game and every genre until the end of time. And that'll be one of the biggest series. Oh, yeah.
Just DDR.
DDR.
Yeah, totally. She can totally do that. Even like skee-ball when things open up, she can be out in the arcade. Basketball, she'll crush. I bet you she'd crush basketball.
Yeah. All of these things, she has like her mind vision planted on the ceiling when she leaves the wicked. I love that. I'm gonna give the point just because I think this is most accurate. I think Jovan's right on the money. I think we're gonna see a Nintendo cinematic universe. It only makes too much sense.
A welcome surprise for sure.
Yeah. All right. So, final question. In the last 2 weeks, mysterious metal monoliths, I'm sure you've seen this, straight out of 2001 A Space Odyssey, have appeared in the Utah desert and then outside a Romanian village. No one currently, as of this taping, is taking responsibility for their appearance. It is time to confess, you three. Admit why you have been the one placing metal monoliths around the world. And the police are coming. Outside of all three of your homes.
Who did they find out did it?
All three of you there. Ready to come arrest you. Whoever it is.
Well, I'll confess first. First of all, guys, I just want to say I'm sorry. But there's a good reason why I was doing it. So, you know, everybody's really hyped about these metal monoliths. They like how they look. They like the mystery behind it. And I've just been putting them everywhere. And I'm going to put some more out just to build some more hype. So that way, when the pandemic is over, everyone's going to be rushing to take a look at these. And there'll be no lines anywhere else. Like, I'm going to go to Cheesecake Factory and sit down instantly. I'm going to go to Six Flags, ride roller coasters multiple times. And I'm going to go to Disneyland. Disneyland will be super easy because everyone will be just worried about these monoliths and checking that out. So, sorry, guys. Sorry.
My evil plan finally coming to play. Let me tell you. Two structures down. Three to go. Once I have all five monoliths placed in the five corners of the globe. That's right. A globe has five corners. And the planets align. It shall open up the portal to the multiverse. And I shall conquer every single parallel universe. This world has ever seen.
Oh my god. Oh.
Oh, was that an evil laugh? Or?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, okay.
Evil cough. Evil cough.
You good?
You good?
I need some water.
All right, get hydrated. So, all right, I must confess, I'm putting up these monoliths because they're made out of this special material. I'm trying to signal the aliens to come over here, help us out, maybe guide us out of this situation that is this year. And it's essentially a sign for them. It's a beacon, all right? Calling to the aliens, come help us. Also, I kind of want like a Starfleet situation to unfold. Yeah.
Take me away, whichever works for you.
Take me, or you can just help. Yeah, help us out. Maybe, put us in the intergalactic space society. I think we're ready.
I think we're ready too. I think we're ready, but we're kind of like the Greece of the European Union. It's like, yes, we'd love to be in this club, but really, like, bail us out, please.
As long as we are the Greece 2 of the galactic setting, then it's fine.
Right now in the year 2020, we might be the planet that they go, you know what? I don't know if I want a vacation at that one.
Yeah.
Like, let's
skip
detour.
That one.
That's where 2021 goes, huh?
We'll come back next year.
Well, I'm going to give the point to Jovan for this one, which I think puts you over the top. You came from behind, the comeback kid.
Over the top. And I have to say, you guys gave me goosebumps with all of your answers.
All of the theories this episode. This is one of the episodes where all six pitches are something where it's like, I want to see that at some point.
I look forward to our Rebels animation style spinoff series where we see, you know, the original OT gang get together and have to like beat Boba Fett.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. A wonderful episode of Rogue Theory. I want to thank all three of our guests. Jovan, our winner today. As well as Angelica Trey and Tom Michelson. Follow all three of them on everywhere that you can follow them, except in real life. That's weird. Don't do that. But you can find me at EA Voss, and you can follow me in real life if you can find me.
Devoid of his.
I don't know where I am, so how will you? Don't forget to subscribe to Rogue Theory, the podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a nice rating review. Follow New Rockstars on socials. Check out our merch store, newrockstarsmerch.com. We got lots of great options, including a new Grogu shirt that's hot off the presses, and we got a WandaVision shirt coming out as well soon. Gonna have a ton of great Easter eggs in there that you can find. Everyone, stay safe out there. See you next time. Bye, everybody.